You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our daily drop update for Big Brother Canada 11. That is, of course, not quite daily. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and I'm here today to talk to you about the latest from the Big Brother Canada 11 house. With me to do so is Asia. How are you doing, Asia?
Hi, Taryn. I'm doing okay. You know, we're here to mourn someone's game, so I decided to dress for the occasion. It's a sad day. I'm a little hot because I actually don't own that much black. So I had to make do. But I am mourning.
Yeah, this is your mourning outfit.
Right. Thanks to RHAP. That's why otherwise I wouldn't have a hat.
Repping the RHAP, got the shades on.
There
ready
we go.
For some mourning.
I'm ready. Yes.
Well, yes, that is definitely the headline for today, which is that, as expected, the veto ceremony happened. Ty took himself off the block and Renee replaced Ty with Koozie. And Koozie is now on the block against Anika. And it does not look good. I would say this is probably the most locked in week of the season here at this point. Not only are there only four votes with Renee as a tiebreaker, but two of those votes are girly pops, Claudia and Shania. So they basically control the outcome of this vote. They've expressed multiple times that they have zero interest in taking Anika out. They've all expressed multiple times that they have a lot of interest in taking Koozie out. And to just cap it all off, they do have a lengthy bashing session for Koozie later in this drop. They're extra mad at her now. So it's not looking great.
Yeah, this is not how I wanted today's drop to go. Even coming out of yesterday's drop thinking, okay, I know it is, if we think about the percentages, which they really love to talk about today, we think, okay, there's probably, you know, there was a 1 out of 2 chance that she was going on the block.
A 2% chance, right? 2%, 2 out of 6 makes 2% chance, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but what's 5% of 500? It was ridiculous. I was like, why is everyone talking about percentages today with no calculators? But yeah, that was too hot. But yes, I did not expect it to go. I didn't expect the mood of today's drop to be the way it was. Like, I knew that, okay, if Koozie goes on the block, all hope may not be lost. I mean, there are still some things that she could do or things that she could say at least to get people's wheels turning. Maybe it's not, you know, a for sure thing, but at least, okay, let's consider, not like, oh, today we know Koozie's going home on Thursday. And for her attitude to be, well, I already know I'm going home. So at this point, I just need to fight for, they need to be fighting for my jury vote. It's like, no, you still have 2 days.
Yeah. Well, that is currently where things stand. The drop opens, you know, with them talking percentages and such. They're making some chili. Anika goes upstairs to Kuzi, who is by herself in the bedroom in the bed. Anika is trying to get Kuzi to come downstairs. She says, "You can't stay up here hiding." Kuzi says, "I'm not hiding." And then Anika leaves. And after Anika leaves, Kuzi says to herself, "Ugh, I have to go interact. Disgusting. I have to go eat their chili because apparently it's good. Ugh, can't turn down a good meal."
Oh, man. Yeah, which is hilarious that she's like in this funky mood to the other person on the block. But it doesn't help that Anika is just in this chipper, happier than ever mood that we've ever seen her.
Yeah, really, there's not a lot of game talk in this drop. Just to warn you, the biggest conversation is between Daniel and Kuzi, and then that bashing session that I mentioned earlier. So that's pretty much what we're going to get to. Daniel and Kuzi spend a long time playing pool together. She keeps losing to him and keeps saying, wait, one more. Let's do this one back. She says to Daniel, "I don't mean to be a sourpuss, but I find it hard to smile around people right now." And as Asia has mentioned, she says she knows that people want her to beg them for their votes, but she knows she's leaving. She's not going to get their votes. So what she wants to do is turn it around and make them beg for her jury vote. This was funny because Daniel's response to this was like, "Yeah, that's super smart. Anything that you say is amazing, Kuzi. I'm not begging for your vote right now." Right.
"I'm not begging for your vote. I'm not begging for your 16,000 Wendy's points. I'm not trying to make sure that I'm the only one good with you before you leave. Not at all."
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have to do that much because it doesn't seem to be the case, but it was a funny contrast. She says, "Oh my goodness. All my ex-boyfriends are going to laugh at me for not winning this game." Yes. Oof.
Oh, yeah.
You get some new ex-boyfriends, maybe.
Right. And who cares? Who cares about opinions of exes? Come on, Kuzi. You're big daddy, Tay.
Yeah. She also mentions that she would date Rob. So maybe he can be her next ex-boyfriend.
Right. Yeah, because she said like it made it seem like she only didn't pursue that because he was like so focused on the game. But I would have loved to see that.
Just another reason for her and Santina to be rivals.
Yes, exactly.
Daniel mentions as well, he's annoyed at the girls as well, because he says they knew what they were doing the whole time when it came to Kuzi being nominated. But Renee still like put him in a position where he felt like he needed to fight for his life and extracted a deal from him. And Kuzi says, "Well, don't honor that deal." And he says, "Oh, believe me, the deal is void. But I mean, I might hold it up in the sense that I will probably put the other two on the block for Renee." We get a little bit here about what Daniel may intend to do if he or theoretically Anika were to win the HOH. It's been difficult to know how much of his deal with Renee was truthful, how much of his deal with Ty is truthful, and how much of his deal with, I mean, he's got deals with everybody. So which one is true? And I think the answer is that none of them are true and that he's just going to do what he thinks is best. And so the question then becomes, what does he think is best? Well, we just heard, apparently, if he wins in the double, he will probably put up Claudia and Shania and then replace one if they come down with Renee. I imagine, though, if he's putting the two of them up on the block immediately, that the target would be one of the two in order to take out that pair. So the four-person alliance, the Claudia, Shania, Daniel, Anika alliance is likely about to die unless they win.
Yeah, it was very short-lived. It seemed like a thing of survival in order to, you know, get out these bigger targets. But yeah, I feel like Shania and Claudia probably thought there was more validity to it than Daniel and Anika. Maybe Anika felt it was real, but I always felt like Daniel was going to do what's best for him, and it doesn't matter who, especially right now, like an alliance of four. I mean, I feel like even if Daniel had gotten HOH during the Crown's reign, I wouldn't have known what he was going to do, because it would just been like, okay, even though he has this alliance, I still think he's going to do what's best for himself. And so, yeah, I think of if Daniel were to get HOH, of his options, those two would be a good move, because you don't want those three girls together. They're not picking you over each other. And obviously, Shania and Claudia are closer.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And most notably, of course, we weren't sure about this, but it does seem like he will be leaving Ty alone if he were to win. And there's more on that in just a second. Daniel first talks about how, you know, they talk about the season. And this is like coming in and out. This was actually like a very annoying conversation to have to follow, because I've gotten used to, at least in these drops, like they just cut straight to the, you know, like it's just a conversation most of the time. They're playing pool and then occasionally talking game. So it's, you just have to, you know, have to sift through it. But Daniel says they talk about season. He says he hopes he's left some kind of mark on the show, because he doesn't feel like he doesn't have any big moments like "I do hate you" or anything fun like that. And she says, "Well, you know, you left your mark, like an emotional mark. Like, you're a good person." It's like, "I didn't come here to be a good person. I came here to be ruthless." And she's like, "Well, have I been ruthless?" He's like, "Yeah." And she says, "Yeah, well, you know what? I did say some things about Anika that I doubted Anika. And I said she might have to go at one point." This is just like, for as much as we've obviously been following the Shady Bunch, and they do call themselves the Shadiest Bunch, I know, but I refuse. We haven't really, really gotten in deep about like the dynamics between them. This conversation in particular made it clear to me that, and this is always kind of, we've kind of known this, but like very clear now with this conversation, Kuzi is a lot closer to Daniel. And Daniel was really the center of this trio. He had Anika on one side, Kuzi on the other. And so when he's with Kuzi, she feels comfortable talking a little bit about Anika, and he does as well. And then when he's with Anika, obviously they talk about Kuzi. So she says she did say that thing about Anika. And then Kuzi, he asks Kuzi, "Who do you think is next if those girls win power again? Do you think they'll come for me, or will they go for Ty?" She says, "I think they'll go for Ty. I think they're worried about sitting next to Ty in the end because they can't beat him." And she probably not only suspects this, but knows it, because Claudia said to her in the last drop that she thought Ty might go ahead and win this game. But whereas yesterday when Kuzi was like, "Would he really win though?" Today she was like, "Oh yeah, he'd win. He'd beat them for sure." Good to know if you have any feelings about Ty, positive or negative. He can win this game, probably.
Right? But does he know that? Like, does he realize his path is with the girly pops and not with Daniel and Anika?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I feel like he... I don't know who... I literally could not see him putting up Daniel and Anika if he were to win power on Thursday, like in the double. But I thought it was funny in this conversation also when, you know, Kuzi was like, "Yeah, I've said some things." He's like, "About me?"
Yeah.
He's like, "No." He's like, "You sure? Like, not about me?" It's like, Daniel, she's not talking about you.
Well, Dad's guilty conscience, right? He knows he said some things about her.
Exactly.
I think that this is actually a giveaway. I think if you play the game, like, how eager is somebody to find out that you've said bad things about them? Because they're probably just hoping that you have, because they want to feel less bad about saying things about you. Mm-hmm. So keep your, you know, ear, mouth shut, ears, eyes. I forget what Daniel said. It was it ears or eyes? I think it was ears.
Ears make sense.
So he asks Daniel says, "Well, they're concerned about being able to beat Ty. Do you think I could beat Ty?" And she says, "Oh yeah, I think you could beat Ty in the final two." He says, "Because I'm starting to think that Ty might be my best path to the end." So not only is Daniel probably not targeting Ty, and this is something that I did think about. I think I talked about it a few days ago, that especially when he's talking about using the veto on Ty, that if he feels like he can beat Ty and he feels like he might have a hard time winning comps against the girly pops, then why not just try and ride Ty to the end? Get that final two deal. If Ty was willing to take Koozie to the end, he'd probably be willing to take Daniel to the end. So why not try and make that deal? Your biggest challenge is, will Ty snake you for Anika or, you know, Renee or Shania, whoever else might be there, that he feels like he might have an easier time beating. That's part of the danger. Or is Ty going to sort of like do the thing that a lot of people in the past have done, which is, I can beat anybody, so I'll just take this person.
I mean, and Ty has already shown us earlier in the game that he wants to go with the best. So I couldn't see him, like, you know, him and Zach talked a lot about just we want the best in the end. And I feel like I couldn't see him, if he had the choice between Daniel and Anika, thinking, well, I actually could win against Anika. He's looking at, I could beat both. Let me take the best, because that'll, you know, mean more.
Yeah. So he says, okay, well, you think I could beat Ty? I think he might be my path to the end. She asks, well, who would you take if you had the choice between Ty and Anika? He says, I'm not sure. Like, what do you think? And she says, well, against Anika, let me tell you, you're definitely winning. Because here's the thing. Daniel says, after what you told me about what Anika said, I'm less convinced I should take her. I don't know exactly what she said, but the context made me feel like it had something to do with taking credit for the shadiest bunch's moves, and stuff like that. And so he basically talked about how, like, if he takes Anika, then it might be harder to separate what they were doing collectively as a group. Whereas if he takes Ty, he can take credit for all of the Shady Bunch's activities. But Koozie is clear. No, you definitely beat Anika. Ty would be the tougher beat. I could see a world where he beats you. But personally, I don't. I think that with all four crown members, including Koozie, all he needs is one more. And I think he can easily get that one more. Especially with Koozie fighting hard for him in the jury, which she is going to say that she's going to do. She says, I'll be fighting for you in the jury as hard as I can, Daniel. And she tells him, if you get some wins over Ty, go ahead and just take him, because he's more deserving than Anika of the 20K for second place, which was very surprising to me. This relationship between Koozie and Anika apparently has either never been super solid or has soured recently. But this is interesting, because just last night I was on the roundtable saying, look at Anika. Everyone thinks she's a goat, but she's actually going to get all four of those crown votes. Against Ty, she might not actually have Koozie, if Koozie's being true about that, which means that maybe Ty could beat Anika. It's tough to say, though, like, is Koozie really going to vote Ty over Anika with all the crown stuff, with Jonathan in there being like, really, Ty, like, over Anika? Or aren't we going to be loyal? Plus, Daniel will be in the jury as well if it's Ty versus Anika. And I know Daniel would be an Anika vote. So, I don't know. I think it would be a lot closer than I thought it might have been.
Yeah, is there a world where Anika has the choice and she picks Ty over Daniel to go to final two?
Based on what we've seen from Anika, it doesn't seem likely, but apparently there's stuff we haven't seen from Anika, so I don't know.
Right. Yeah, that would be really interesting. And it's just, it's a wild world we're living in, where we're just talking as if they're having this conversation as if Koozie is already sitting in the jury. Like, you're talking about cutting Anika or not cutting Anika. Why not me be there instead of Anika? Why not let me figure out how to leverage this relationship that I have with Ty and see if he has an ounce of pull over Claudia to be able to keep me? Like, I don't understand.
If I were Daniel, I think I would propose right now. She's saying, I'll fight for you in the jury. I think I would propose, okay, let me throw this idea out there for you. What if we fake a fight right now, right? Like, make it seem like we're not together. it gives you a slightly better chance of staying because you can be like, I'm against Daniel. Daniel's against me. You know, like take out Daniel's partner and Anita, whatever the case might be. It gives you a better shot of staying. And if you do end up leaving, like you think you already have resigned yourself to be, then you can act like you're not a vote for me in the jury. You're going to campaign for me against me in the jury. And it will make people more likely to vote, to want to bring me to the end. But secretly, you will be campaigning. Two-pronged attack. It's a good idea.
Right. But hey, maybe he'll think of it. I mean, because if he's already thinking, okay, we have 2 days of nothing to do. We know Koozie's going to the jury. How can I leverage this? He may.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen before. We saw it with Paris. We've seen it with Nicole Franzel. Like, it's very effective to send somebody, to have somebody you know is leaving, who is willing to work for you in the jury, to send them off with specific messaging, with specific strategies. And like just having an ally like that, so locked in can be really, really beneficial, both in the jury and in the House. If you can convince people that they're not a locked in vote for you in the jury. I mean, that would be so huge. If Koozie left and everyone in the House was convinced that Koozie was absolutely not a vote for Daniel, or at least very unlikely to be a vote for Daniel, Daniel probably becomes the new, like, I'm going to take him to the final mm-hmm. two because he's an easy win because everyone believes that Koozie will have a massive amount of influence over the jury. And so that one little thing could be a huge, have a huge impact on if they were to think of it.
Yeah, absolutely. But part of me just thinks they're going to spend these 2 days playing random games and the next 2 days of daily jobs will be nothing.
Yeah, probably. So that was basically the Daniel and Koozie conversation. We are also going to hear from Renee, Claudia, and Shania. Again, this kind of speaks to the likelihood that Koozie will stay this week, as well as the current jury management that is likely happening from these girly pops. If the girly pops do end up losing to Ty or anybody else, these are the kinds of conversations that we're going to have to look at because Renee is complaining about Koozie. The Koozie's reaction to being nominated, they're referring to specific interactions and conversations and actions and vibes that we have not seen. Which is not, you know, something that is, we're used to it at this point. She says, don't cry to me about wanting to be safe and then act like that. And Claudia says, yeah, I don't get it. Now she's like laughing with them. And it's like, are we still on the outs? Like, what the hell? Like, how are we in power and still on the outs? How is she more popular than us, essentially? Renee says, yeah, I get punished for this. Like I'm the villain here. Shania says, well, maybe Koozie is used to that sort of treatment in her everyday life. And Renee says, yeah, I don't respect her anymore. It wasn't tasteful. I won't waste my breath on a person like that. Shania says, yeah, I don't have time for people like that in my life that are just like, oh, I'm petty like that. Renee says, I hope I look good on TV in that exchange. I hope I look like I was in the right. And Renee says, I hope you two will support me in condemning her behavior. And Shania says, yeah, she has the nerve to preach that she's worked for the girls all season. And then she feeds cutaway.
They said, all right, all right, all right. What? Just, this is so annoying because yes, Renee, you are the bad guy in the situation. To Koozie, you are the HOH who put her up. Own it. Own your actions. That's it. Don't start feeling like, oh, why is she mad at me for putting her on the block and she's going home? Why would she be mad about that? I don't respect someone who would be mad about me putting them on the block. How am I the bad? What are you talking about? Like, she's just like, and even for her to say, oh yeah, like, you know, don't play like you're safe and then act like that. You told her she was nowhere near the top of your list. Okay. You are responsible for putting 2, maybe 3 people on the block a week. So I'm sorry if there are other people in the house, even though she did not give her any security about not going on the block after the veto. For her to say to Koozie, like if she puts on her Koozie shoes and sees it from Koozie's perspective, then she would see, oh, nowhere near the top of that list. I'm good. So it's like, Renee, you didn't have to say all that. All you had to say was, I'm not putting you up initially. I can't promise anything later, but for now, you're good. You're the one that made her feel overly confident with that. You're nowhere near going on the block, like nowhere near at the top of my list of somebody sitting on the block.
Listen, she's pissed.
I'm pissed.
So ridiculous.
So probably worth noting, this is taking place yesterday. So it's probably not too long after the veto ceremony. You know, this is probably an initial reaction. We'll see how they continue to interact over the next couple of days. Obviously, again, this is very important. Kuzi's not wrong. I mean, she's wrong in that she should be campaigning and not jury voting. Right. But she's also not wrong in the sense that the others should also be campaigning for their jury vote. Like it's a double-edged sword there. And right now neither side is doing what they need to be doing, to succeed in this game, which of course has people like Daniel just kind of like,
right. Even Ty, no one's looking at me right now. So things are good.
Oh boy. So we'll see. We'll see what happens over the next couple of days. I really don't expect anything to change when it comes to the vote. But when it comes to who everyone else will be targeting, in particular, I would love to know from Daniel and Anika who exactly they plan to target. If they're putting Claudia and Shanaea on the block together, I assume that means the target is Claudia. Because why would they target Shanaea unless they wanted to intentionally leave Claudia in the game as a target for Ty still? So I would love to know from them exactly who they plan on targeting. We got an indication that they might be targeting at least one of them from Daniel here, but he may not even be honest with Kuzi at this point. Who knows? I would love to know from Ty exactly who he's targeting at this point. I would assume it's still Claudia, but I would love to hear some confirmation. It's been a little while since we heard him say that. We know from Claudia and Shanaea at this point, they're obviously targeting Ty with potentially Daniel or even Renee as a backup. And you know, even though they've mentioned not targeting Anika, I don't think it's possible that falls onto Anika depending on the arguments being made. Yeah, that's mostly what I'm looking for over the next couple of days. And then, you know, more jury management stuff. I do think Kuzi will have a massive influence over the jury if she currently has, if her current list is Daniel, Ty, Anika, Girly Pops. Might be worth knowing the order of the Girly Pops if that's possible. I mean, these are questions I'll probably be asking her on Friday. You know.
Well, that's fun. You get to talk to her. That's one bright side about this. But I will say, if I were a Girly Pop, I would make sure I'm the one Girly Pop that Kuzi would want to win. Mm-hmm. They're not even thinking about that. I'm like, if y'all are riding this out to the end with you three, y'all are trying to do that. You don't like at least have somebody that you know has influence, you know, riding for you in your corner. I mean, and maybe, and like, it, yes, it was right after, because I remember Daniel saying like, it just happened, Kuzi, you have time to feel like this. So maybe they'll, you know, we'll see a change in tune from tomorrow's digital daily drop. But I also think that it could benefit them. Like if they had to choose between Shanaea and Claudia to get out next, even if they did get out Claudia, Ty is still mad at Shanaea for using the veto on his HOH, and he didn't think she could win a veto. So I think there's still potential he would go after either one. So I think it'd be more advantageous to get out Claudia, because I just feel like she can do better in competitions, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on the read that Daniel has of Ty. I think if he feels like he's able to lock Ty in with a final two, then, you know, I think that you can take out Claudia. Yeah. And then hope that Ty wins and takes out the next person, and that Ty wouldn't be worried about you and Anika because A, he thinks he can beat both of you in a final three HOH, which probably can, or at least come close. I mean, the thing is the final competition being trivia. Now, the final three HOH typically The first round is skill-based, that is still somewhat physical, depending. Some of them much more physical than others. Second one is usually very physical with a quiz element, but the quiz element is usually easy enough that it's just going to go to the most physical person. And then, of course, third portion being a straight-up quiz. So if it were Ty versus Anika and Daniel, I mean, one of them has to get through to the quiz portion, right?
Right.
Can't both lose both competitions.
Exactly.
So I could easily see Ty winning the first part and then Daniel versus Anika in the second part. I think Daniel outperforms Anika when it comes to the questions, but I think Anika is, she's very fit. I think she would do better with the physical portion. So he'd probably be relying on her messing up the quiz portion of it. And then I do think that Daniel, he says himself, and we've seen now, we've seen some evidence of it, that Daniel knows his days and stuff much better than Anika does. And he thinks he has it better than Ty does as well, even though they both performed the same in the previous, in the most recent HOH competition. So, you know, could be worth noting. If Daniel is talking to Koozie about like, hey, I would take Ty if I felt like, you know, I wanted to bring the most deserving person. It's possible that he's having this conversation with Koozie in the hopes that she relays it to Ty in a way that is more believable than him telling it to Ty. Like Koozie saying, Ty, here's my advice to you. I've talked to Daniel. He wants to bring you to the end. He wants a deserving person there. And then if he goes to Ty with that as well, then it's possible that he could actually get Ty on board and Ty would feel comfortable with him and Anika in the final three, feeling like he's guaranteed a spot in the final two if him and Daniel beat Anika. So there's a lot that could happen there. A lot of this depends on Ty, who has found some footing in the game after 4 weeks of being immune.
Right.
So, we'll see.
Yeah. I can't even say funny. How ironic would it be if Ty ends up winning this whole game? I'll just be
it's not
11
impossible
the,
by
the forgotten
anything.
Season.
all right. So that's about what we have for you. Anything else you wanted to bring up, Asia?
No, I just hope that after some sleep, like a good night's rest, or after a good DR session, Koozie's like, wait a second, I'm not out of this game yet. Let me see what I can do. So we'll see. If there's no fight in her that we see tomorrow, then I'll just be looking forward to her exit interview.
Yeah. It's an uphill battle for sure, but yeah. definitely would love to see her give it a shot. All right. Well, that's what we have for you today. I will be live on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, in just a little bit for tonight's episode, where we will see Renee as the HOH. We'll see the nominations. It might not be the best episode. Might be a boring episode. But also we'll see. We'll be live after the episode, of course, to recap what goes down. And then tomorrow I'll be back to update you on, you know, what Koozie's doing, what the girly pops are doing, and all of that good stuff from the next drop. Check out the Survivor Stockwatch podcast that I've got going on from the latest Survivor episode. And yeah, it'll be a good time. Asia, what do you got going on?
Yeah, so everybody, you can go follow me on social media, all social media at Asia Like Asia. That's AYSHA like ASIA. Right now I'm podcasting with Jason Reed over on our podcast called A Perfect Match about Married at First Sight. You don't even have to watch the show to just come enjoy us having fun talking about the show. Mary Kukowski and I just finished up our coverage of Love is Blind. So if you're catching up, definitely go check out the podcast. We had a great time covering season 4. We had some great guests. And then also coming up for RHAP Live, I will be in Toronto. So very excited to watch Big Brother Canada along everyone else.
Yes, should be a good time. Where maybe we'll see Ty become
Big Brother Canada. Exactly. I'll have to make sure that we're positioned the same. You're sitting somewhat behind me. I'll record our reaction. Yeah.
Yeah. When Ty wins the final HOH and cuts Daniel for Anika and wins right. The game.
What? Yep. There we go.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you. Thank you all so much for joining us here today. And I will see all of you next time.